Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, and faith will end when the sight takes over. Amen. What a blessing that is to know that. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua, and we started this particular study on Joshua last July in 17. So we've been in this, studying this. There's so much there, and we've seen how he would have been in the book in Egypt, in the book of Exodus, as underneath Moses coming out of Egypt and all through the wilderness and now into the promised land. And God chose him to lead God's people into the promised land. And we've studied all the historical facts of that and also the biblical principles that are somewhat attached to those biblical truths. And so that's what we continue to do. We find here that the army, the battles were over, and the Bible says that the land was at rest, in that all the armies and the kings of the land of Canaan had been conquered. Israel had conquered the kings, and now God's law is over the entire land of Canaan. There's still work to be done and finishing up conquering the land, but the war part of it with all the collective tribes together had come to an end. And with that, we find that Joshua now is a little bit up there in age. And last week, we studied that God approached Joshua, and he basically told him, "You're old." You know, and the Bible chapter 13 and verse 1, he tells him twice that, "Joshua, you're old, but there's still work to be done." And God reminds Joshua that his age was a factor. And can I tell you, age is a factor in all of our lives. Now, we need to be committed to a lifetime of service. And Joshua was committed to a lifetime of service. But know that with age, your service will continue to change. Different battles are fought at different ages. Praise the Lord that we don't fight the same battles that teenagers fight. And Satan's attacking them in different ways, and he attacks older adults. But teenagers need to realize that you ought to be committed to a lifetime of service. And what you're doing as teenagers and how you win or lose those battles will impact your opportunities of the future and how you will continue to serve the Lord with your life. Then young married, they fight different battles as young married. They got babies to deal with and all the different things that take place and adjusting to marriage and all what have you there and trying to do all that and continue to serve the Lord and be the Christian spouses that God wants you to be. Your age matters there. Then middle age, you're always going to fight battles. The battles will change. Satan will come at you in different ways, but there's still work to be done. As long as you're alive and in this physical body, you have work to be done in serving the Lord. We get into our senior years, and that's where somewhat Joshua is now. And God is saying, "Joshua, you can't do what you used to do. You're aged. But with that age, you've got a lot of wisdom. With that age, you've got a lot of experience. With that aging process and how you lived your life up to this point, you have gained the respect of all the tribes of Israel. So in that, there was no one better prepared to do what God would commission him to do. Joshua now is tasked with dividing up the land. Dividing up inheritance can be a tough thing to do. Because everybody thinks that they deserve more than what they are going to get, if you will. And yet Joshua was tasked with this task of dividing the land to the 12 tribes of Israel. Actually, 9.5. Moses had already given 2.5 of the tribes their inheritance, but they were with them until the work was finished, until the battles were won. But Joshua chapter 13, all the way down through Joshua chapter 21, much is said about dividing up the inheritance, the borders, and the boundaries in Israel's inheritance. But what we're wanting to do is, as we close out this study on the life of Joshua, instead of going through, and there's a purpose that God has, and knowing what these boundaries were and what everyone's responsibilities were of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he presents all of that. But in the middle of all that, there's several main events in this process of dividing up the land that's been recorded. And the one we're going to be looking at tonight, one of the first main events that took place that God has recorded for us, was Caleb's. Caleb's desire, his personal desire for the mountain of Hebron. And the thought here tonight, as we're going to study this, I'm going to read this in just a minute, but is it wrong to ask God for what we want? Do we have a hard time in asking for the desires of our heart? Was Caleb in the right to go to Joshua and say, I want that mountain. It's mine. I desire it. Give it to me. Was he right or wrong? Let's study it. We'll find out. Joshua chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 6, read down to verse 15. Joshua chapter 14, go ahead and stand with me. Because now we find that Joshua is tasked with giving out, dividing up the land, and he has somebody come to him and say, wait a minute, hold on here. I've got a request. I have a personal request for that mountain of Hebron. And I want you to give it to me. Now, how many personal requests could there have been in dividing up the land of Canaan of the tribes of Israel? I love this, that God now has put this in the Word and recorded for us to learn, is it wrong for us to ask God for what we want? Joshua chapter 14, let's start reading verse 6, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for the blessings that we've already received in being in church. And now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture and we study this event in Joshua and Caleb's life and what Caleb asked for. And I pray that you'd help us to learn from this tonight. Bless the preaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Is it wrong to ask God for what we want or what we desire? Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Can I start off by saying that God delights to give us good things? God delighted in giving his only begotten Son. He delighted in that. Jesus delighted. It was joy that was set before him to bring to humanity everlasting life. To pay a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. He joyed not in the disgrace and not in the pain and agony and the separation from God the Father. But he found joy in what he gave and did for humanity. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, I think this is something that we need to understand here, as I believe Joshua had this understanding. God delights to give us good things. In Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus was teaching his disciples on prayer and asking of things from their heavenly Father, he says in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, he says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that asketh seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son," he's relating this to a father and a beloved son, "or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil," sinful nature, "know how to give good gifts unto your children, if you will, we delight in giving good things to our children. If you're worth your salt as a father, you delight in giving good things to your family and providing for them and meeting their needs. It just does something for you. If it doesn't do something for you, there's something wrong with you." And God relates that. And he says, "If then ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things?" And that's the key right there. Give good things to them that ask him. What a great truth that Jesus presented. But can I tell you that truth is the biblical principle that we find with Caleb. Most of the time, if you study the historical events that God has placed in the Bible, there's more than just historical events there. It is a principle that is backed up in understanding that principle by New Testament scripture. It's a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so as we look here, that's exactly what that was. What Jesus was teaching was a fulfillment of the principle taught with Caleb. So the support for Caleb, not only to ask, but to receive what he wanted, what his desire was, the support for that. And I wonder, and what we need to see is, do I have this very same support for what I would ask for? Can I back it up and have the same support that Caleb did to look to God and ask for whatever it is I'm asking for, whatever the desire of my heart is? First of all, we find Caleb's commitment to God had not changed. In 45 years, his heart was the same 45 years after the fact when he wanted Hebron. That's where he went. When he spied out the land, that's where he went, and that's the land that he wanted. When he would go back in, he wanted to go back and to tell Moses and Israel, let's take the land. If God be for us, we can handle this. God will give us the victory, as he says once again here. And he was ready to go in, and he was ready to take on the toughest battle of all of the land of Canaan that was left. He was willing to attack and fight the giants and the fenced cities. He was willing to do that 45 years earlier. His heart had not changed. Look at chapter 14, verse 6. It says, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. He said, go back 45 years ago. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. I had the very same desire then as I do now. My heart's desire has not changed. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I believed we could do it then, and I believe we could do it now. I had the very same desire then that I have now. I believed it was God's will then as I believe it's God's will now. He was ready. His heart had not changed for 45 years. He kept that fire burning. He never gave up on his heart's desire. His heart's desire was never denied. It was delayed. Can I tell you, God's will for our life does not change. If we have something that God would have us to ask for, we need to ask for it if our heart's right with God. And even though it might not be answered right then and there, that answer might not be no, it might be not just now. It might not be denied, it might just be delayed. And unless God changes your heart, unless God changes the desire that you have, continue to look for it. Continue to seek it. Continue to knock. Don't give up on it. Something in your heart that you believe it's God's will for your life, it's something in your heart that you believe it's something that God wants you to have, no matter what else takes place, don't believe the lie that God says no to something that you know he wants you to have. It just might be that God's saying, keep the fire burning. Keep the heart right. It's coming. Not denied. Just delayed. Yeah. And now, he says, verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Well, that means if he kept you alive, there's still something he's got for you. Amen. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I am as strong this day, God done something special for Caleb. He allowed him to keep his strength, the strength of a 40-year-old at 85. Amen. God did that. Thou heardest that in that day how the Anakins were there and that the cities were great and fenced, and if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He knew it was God's will. His heart had not changed. God had not changed his heart. Can I tell you, God works from the inside out on us. He really does. That spiritual mind, that thinking, understanding who God is, desire to look to him and how God does something inside of us when you know it's his will. When you just know that this is something that God wants me to have, don't be so confused about it. Just keep the fire burning and realize if God hadn't changed your heart, he's not saying no. It might just be delayed. His commitment to the Lord, his heart for God's will for his life, he knew it to be God's will. The Lord kept me alive. As he said, look back with the Numbers in chapter 14. Numbers in chapter 14. Verse 24. Caleb and Joshua wanted to possess the land, to take it. The other 10 brought back a bad report, melted the heart of the entire nation of Israel. Verse 23, the Bible says, "Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." God says, no matter what kind of desire they have, they're not going to see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he didn't have that negative spirit that the rest of the ten had. He didn't have the defeated attitude that Israel had when they listened to the other 10 spies. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, his spirit was united with God's spirit. And God's spirit bears witness with our spirit that we might understand the will and the way of God. Hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb heard that. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 35 and verse 36. As Moses presenting this once again, nation of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says this: "Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon." The land that he saw, the land that he knew that was the will of God then, he trodden upon. That's where he went into in the as he spied out the land. Say, "Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." Can I tell you, I think that you and I know when we're following God's leading and when we get sidetracked. There's something different when we know that we are doing God's will than we start doing man's will. We're following a man instead of God. We're following, maybe sometimes it's our own desires instead of what God desires for us. We'll know that. Caleb had God's word. And that's what's important. That's what sets it apart. Caleb had God's word to assure him of his desire. He heard from God. He heard from the man of God. And he held on to that for 45 years. And because he had God's word, his heart never changed. His desire never changed. The fire never went out. Yeah. If our desires are supported by Scripture, then don't let that fire go out. See, it is God's will to be married. I know we have some college age that are wondering, you know, will I ever find that right spouse? Will I find that right woman? Or will I find that right man? Well, do you have a desire to be married? Don't be led by your flesh. Do not be led by another individual. But I think that's a desire that you can pray for. I think that's a desire that you have Scripture to back up your desire. To have children, I think that is a desire that you have Scripture for. That's what God desires, for a husband and wife to come together and reproduce, amen, to multiply. And the blessing of having a quiver full of, amen, praise the Lord. I think you have Scripture to back that up. If you have a desire to have children, don't give up on that until God makes it clear that you're not going to be married. If you're not going to be married, you don't need to be having children. But don't give up on that, because you have Scripture to back that up until God changes your heart. Don't be led by your own spirit. Don't be led by another spirit, but be led by the Spirit of God. And while you're looking for that, pray for that. Pray for the desire of your heart. Ask God, seek and knock for God's will in your life. Don't give up on that. You might have to wait 40 years, but don't give up on that. No, I'm saying that Caleb did. Not saying that's necessarily, but don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. Don't get so discouraged when God does not answer your prayer overnight. And sometimes, because God's not answering your prayer overnight, you'll be led by the flesh and you'll get somebody that's not going to be the husband that you really want to have, or that wife that you really want to have. And it's much better not to ever be married than to be married and divorced. So wait upon the Lord. And while you're waiting, if God hadn't changed your heart, then continue to pray. And don't give up hope. Amen. Because I believe you got Scripture to back it up. I think it's good to want to provide for your family and have a good job, a job that will take care of the need of your family. Nothing wrong with praying with that. It should be the desire of your heart to want to make enough money to provide for your home. I believe we have Scripture to back that up. So don't give up on that. Continue to pray and to seek and to knock. Sometimes you don't have it because you're not praying for it. You've given up on being able to provide for your family, and now you're just going to live in depression. You've given up on prosperity. You've given up on something that God might have ready for you if you'd have just continued to ask, and if you'd continue to seek, and if you continue to knock. Listen to me. If you have biblical Scripture to back up what you desire, then continue to ask for it. Amen. Nothing wrong with asking. Nothing wrong with having the desire, especially when you have God's word to back it up. Nothing wrong with desiring to have good health. I believe that for the most part, God wants us to be healthy. Now, don't buy into the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. If that was the case, then Paul was very much out of God's will. He had no faith. And yet, God used him to write 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. You can't deny Paul's faith. But God changed his heart concerning being healed of his infirmity. Amen. I believe Paul had three seasons of prayer, thinking that it would be better to be healed. And God said, no, Paul, it's my will that you have it. Have a purpose in mind. Have a reason for it. And God changed his heart. Yeah. Praying for wisdom. We have not because we're just not praying for it. If you desire it, who does not desire to have wisdom? Wisdom to know how to be a better wife. Wisdom to know how to be a better husband. Wisdom to know how to be a better parent. Wisdom to do whatever. Who would not want to have that wisdom? And listen to me, we have scripture to back it up. We just need to ask. And yet Satan blinds us to having a desire to look to God and pray for wisdom. That's right. You say, do you need more wisdom? When's the last time you prayed for it? Yeah. Why not? It should be a desire. And it's got scripture to back it up. Pray. Seek. Knock. Till you have it. In whatever area that you need it. Caleb had God's word to assure him of his desire. Caleb met the conditions for the promise of God. He wholly followed the Lord, which positioned him to be able to be blessed and not chastened by God. Psalms chapter 37. And we're almost done here. This is good stuff here. I mean, this biblical principles. Caleb was within his wheelhouse, amen. It was what God would have him to do. When he goes to Joshua, as Joshua is dividing up the land, and said, wait a minute, don't forget God had promised me. And I want it. And I'm here to ask for it. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you're delighting yourself in the Lord, your desires will be right. And if they are right within the will of God, you are meeting the conditions for the promise to be answered and given. Psalms 145, verse 19. He will, God will, fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Honor him, reverence him. Are you honoring him? Are you reverencing him? Do you have the heart of Caleb? I want to do God's will. I'm committed to doing God's will. Even if it's going to be 45 years later, I am committed to keep the fire burning so I can do what God wants me to do. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. One more, Proverbs chapter 10. This is just the conditions for the promise. Delight in him, fear him. Live righteously. You really want it? Live righteously. Position yourself for it. Proverbs 10, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But the desire of the righteous, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. It's a righteous desire. It's a righteous request. Caleb's request was not based upon selfish reasoning. He didn't want it to make himself great. He didn't want it so he could kick back. God, give me $1 million so I can just kick back, throw my feet up, and just retire in luxury. Now, Lot probably did that. Lot's decision, amen, to go the direction he did and to claim the land that he claimed was not based on God's will. It was based on selfish desires. Caleb's request was not based upon selfish reasoning because he asked for possibly the toughest land to subdue. It was mountains and giants that he would have to deal with. It was not going to be easy. But it was God's will for his life. He was determined this is the land that God would give him. And he would say in verse 12, with God's help, I can fulfill doing what God wants me to do in this land, no matter how big the giants are that remain, no matter how steep the mountains are, I can accomplish it. Is our desires based on selfish reasoning? No. Go back with me, we're done. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua granted Caleb his request for all these right reasons, for everything we've already preached on. Chapter 14, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. As soon as he gave it to him, Caleb accomplished his task. He made the most out of what God had given him. Amen. Is it wrong? Is it wrong for me to ask God for what I want? Is it wrong for me to have these desires? If you can identify with what Caleb identified with, it's not only not wrong, it is what God wants you to do. Ask, seek, and knock for the desires of your heart. If I could have every head bowed. Wow, what a powerful example of Caleb wanting the mountain. And what a powerful insight this is to the principle that Jesus taught on prayer. It's not only the right thing to do, it's what God wants you to do. If you meet these qualifications, God wants you to ask for the desire of your heart. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight. Very seldom do we on Wednesday night, but there is an invitation. If God spoke to you tonight, if you have something to bring to this altar, maybe tonight it's a good time to start asking. Maybe tonight it's a good time to start seeking. Maybe tonight's a good time to start knocking. for what God has for you. Anyone else need to come? Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this example in the life of Caleb. And Lord, I pray that we too will be aware of your will for our lives and our commitment to it and the need to ask for the desires. Bless each one that has a need tonight. Direct each one to your will. Be with us now as we get ready to leave here. Get us all home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.